Welcome back everyone to Campfire Tales. Tonight's video is about a Border Patrol agent who was assigned a rookie to work with him during the night shift in the southwestern border states. I will not specify which state. You'll just have to figure that out for yourself. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss tonight's episode. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Working as a Border Patrol agent is a scarier job than most people think, especially during the late night shifts. I work in an area where there is a lot of action, including smuggling of people, guns, drugs, and other illegal material. There are cartel operators and coyotes, gangs and lone wolves, and everything in between. During these overnight shifts, I was thankful when I had the opportunity for company, even if it was in the form of a Green Guild trainee, and Jake was as green as they came. "Quiet night tonight," he was saying, looking out the windshield desperately, hoping for someone or something to challenge our authority. "So, when are we going to see some action?" "You don't want action, kid, trust me. But before tonight is done, we'll run into something. This is the witching hour. All the players come out this time of night." "But what if we need to change spots? Maybe they saw us here and..." "Quiet, Jake. You need to keep quiet or you'll give away our location. Nobody knows we're here. If we drive away right now, we're gonna spook them. Now just watch and learn, okay? There's a reason they put you with me tonight. You wanted your first caller? Here's where you're gonna get it." I was struck by a familiar feeling of deja vu. The same scene played over and over again in this truck. Maybe one day would be different. Maybe one day I'd get to retire. He settled down, moping in the passenger seat. The kid didn't understand the job. He didn't know what it was like to sit out here alone, surrounded by desert hills with no backup for miles and miles. These old cliffs and low mountains were dotted with mine shafts and tunnels, blasted out the sand and stone long before we were born, and they afforded plenty of space to hide. There were people who wanted us dead out here in the desert, and they would be glad to have the chance to make that happen. One spot in particular caught my eye. At the same time, Jake noticed it. "Hey, do you see that?"
"No."
"Look, right up there," he said, pointing right next to my face, his index finger indicating an obvious orb of light.
"Nope, don't see anything. You know what? Maybe we should move after all."
He jerked his head down as if afraid of being spotted. "They're looking right at us, I think. No, it doesn't look like they could see us."
"Of course not," I thought to myself. "Because this is a good spot to hide. That's why I come here."
"How many are there?" I asked, resigning to the fact that this was happening now. We were going to pursue them, or at least, he was going to pursue them. "Looks like two, maybe three at most. Smugglers by the look of it."
"Okay," I said.
"Now don't do anything stupid. Just stay put and let me call it in. We'll get backup out here."
"They'll be gone by the time they arrive. Come on, the two of us could stop them."
He cracked open his door slowly, then got out. I had the interior lights rigged to stay dim, so that it wouldn't give away our location to anyone. He closed his door as silently as he could, the soft sound of metal clicking back into place indicating he was really leaving. I sighed, knowing how this was going to go. It always seemed to go the same way. That deja vu feeling struck again, but only for a second, as I ran to catch up with the kid.
"Slow down. You need to stay hidden for an approach like this. We're too out in the open."
He ignored me,
continuing his trajectory as if I weren't even there with him.
"I'm trying to help you. Just listen to me. You're gonna get yourself killed."
He kept marching stubbornly forward, and I saw where he was headed. One of the black holes cut out of the fence in the mountain was straight ahead, an old mine shaft that had been out of use for decades.
"They're headed for the tunnel. We need to cut them off before they get there," he said,
like a character in a play who was committed to saying the lines he had rehearsed, despite the improvisation of the other cast members. His breath was growing labored. He sounded like he was getting winded already, and we hadn't even started chasing anyone yet. Adrenaline could give you a lot of strength and speed, but it doesn't last long. And when that endorphin rush is over, you're way more tired than you would normally be. That was why I tried to stay calm in situations like this, but I didn't have time to teach him that lesson yet. We finally reached the doorway to the mineshaft after a long, long hike. The smugglers he had seen made it there a few minutes before us, and had given no indication of noticing our path towards them. Still, I got the feeling they knew that we were coming. Despite my years on Border Patrol, they knew this desert a hell of a lot better than us.
"Okay, what's next, boss?"
Jake said, looking at me as we stood outside the tunnel's entrance. "It's not up to me, Jake. You already made this decision for yourself. I told you we needed backup. You didn't listen."
"Oh, come on, man. Just think about how excited everyone at the station is going to be when they see that we caught these guys by ourselves. They probably have a bunch of cocaine or heroin or something, and we'll be heroes."
"Don't do it, kid, please. Just listen to me." He didn't listen. Instead, he went straight inside the tunnel, and I stupidly followed after him. We kept our flashlights off, moving towards the sounds of voices echoing in the distance. It sounded like two men having a conversation. They were laughing and joking, and I could hear glasses clinging as if they were celebrating something with a toast.
"We got him, man," Jake whispered, his gun drawn.
I could see his hands trembling, his legs wobbly with each nervous step he took going forward. The sounds of their voices grew louder as we drew closer. With each step, I felt more certain of what would happen next. Like a jump scare in a horror movie, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know exactly when. And then it really did begin to play out like a movie. We rounded the corner to find two men sitting in front of a small fire. They were drinking and laughing, smoking hand-rolled cigarettes which were clenched in their yellowed fingers.
"Hands up! Get him up now! Border Patrol, you're both under arrest!"
Jake was yelling at the two men as they put their hands up in the air, cigarettes dangling from their lower lips. They didn't look particularly worried.
"Under arrest for what?"
one of the men asked in broken English.
"We're just camping here. You Americans have laws against camping."
Jake's gun began to lower slightly, as if he was taken aback by the question. But a second later, he raised it to their heads again, as if remembering who he was and what we were doing out there.
"You two came across the border illegally. I saw it. Now I'm guessing by those bags that you were carrying that you had something with you, something heavy."
"What bags? Do you see any bags?" The two men were looking at him as if he was an idiot, and Jake looked uncertain again.
"There was another man, Jake. You said two or three of them, remember?"
He didn't seem to hear me. Instead, he went towards the two men, getting within arm's reach of them both. Alarm bells began to ring in my mind as I thought about the danger he was putting himself in. And then the other man emerged from a side tunnel, his gun raised.
"Drop it!"
Jake yelled. But those were the last words from his mouth. Three loud shots rang out in the tunnel,
their echoes reverberating painfully and piercing my ears, until it felt like my eardrum would explode. Jake was on the ground a moment later, bleeding out. His blood so dark in the dim light that it appeared almost black, like crude oil leaking from the floor beneath him.
"You shouldn't have come here," a voice said, and another shot rang out.
I felt a hollow ache in my gut, an emptiness where the bullet had been. I remembered falling to the floor in the exact spot where I stood now. I remembered the pain of the shot, now just a distant memory. The voices of the men fleeing the tunnel was loud at first, then grew quieter as they disappeared into the distance. My heart was thumping fast as I looked down at Jake, the blood pouring from his mouth, dribbling down his chin as he coughed and sputtered, saying,
"I'm sorry, boss. I should have listened to you." "It's okay, kid. It's gonna be okay. You're gonna make it, I promise. You're gonna see your mom again, just like I promised her this morning. I'm gonna take care of you."
My voice trailed off as his breathing slowed, then stopped. One more ragged, crackling inhalation could be heard as he tried desperately to fight off death. The exhale came, wet and bubbling. But there was nothing after that. He was dead. I left him there. As I walked back towards the truck through the darkness of the desert, I couldn't help but lift up my shirt at the bottom, fingering the scar where the bullet had gone in. All these years later, it was still there, like a trophy, a souvenir of something awful. The truck was up on the hill, dim and quiet. I marched towards it and got in, catching my breath as I sat down. Memories of what I had seen played out in my mind. Everything so real I could practically reach out and touch it. I just wished I could forget those memories. I wish I didn't have to relive them over and over again. I wish I didn't have to see all of my mistakes and all the things I could have done better. The ways I could have saved him. Over and over again. Replaying like a movie I've seen 1,000 times before. The stories of this area of the desert are plentiful. There's a lot of action that happens around here, and I don't just mean illegal border crossings. There's another border we seem to share, and the lines are blurry at this time of night between the world of the living and the world of the dead. More than one Border Patrol agent has told me they've seen ghosts in this exact same spot. A lot of them describe the same person. A young recruit who looks eager and ready for duty. He's a bit green around the gills, but he's clearly motivated. He wants to do good. He wants to help people. I guess I'm the one who sees him the most, though. Which is fitting, since I'm the one who his mother blamed for his death. A chill ran down my spine as I felt eyes watching me from the passenger seat, and saw a flash of white light appear beside me. Fear gripping me anew, even though I liked to pretend this was all normal, it didn't get any less terrifying when it happened. Still, I felt like I owed it to Jake, to give him a little taste of real life again, even if it was repetitious. Like a movie being played on a loop, over and over again. Usually he doesn't make two visits in one night, but tonight was special. It was the anniversary. And it was the witching hour. That time of night when the veil gets so thin you could see right through it. And you could reach out and touch what's on the other side. "Quiet night tonight," Jake said from the seat next to me. "So, when are we gonna see some action?"